everyone. Welcome to the Pinkham.com Norwich City podcast. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm with David Freezer and Paddy Davitt to discuss the latest Norwich City action, which, of course, as you all know, was an East Anglian derby draw with Ipswich Town. A draw that I don't know if it left anyone really that happy, to be honest, Paddy. But where do you sit on it, on how it all went? Because I guess we were all hoping that Norwich would continue their superiority in this fixture, and they did to a degree, but yeah, not in the bit that counted.
Well, I mean, I think pretty much all the analysis since the game is two strands really to that fixture. It's, yeah, it's unbeaten in eight now, particularly after going behind, bragging rights, rah-rah. But the other strand, which for me is more important at this stage, is what it meant for the promotion push. And given Wednesday got beat, Reading, Huddersfield all drop points, for Norwich not to cash in and get a win, irrespective of who the opponent was, is really the overriding feeling of frustration, I think, for me and probably a lot of people as well, because there was a real opportunity there to turn the heat up on Wednesday ahead of this Saturday's game. Now, you know, there's still a chance, but it continues to recede, and if you're not winning games, bearing in mind they didn't get anything at Burton, they drew with Newcastle, they need a win, and a massive win, what it would be if they could get it at Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, indeed. And it's been the kind of what the big question, we'll probably get into the derby stuff later, but it's been the big question, is that it now for Norwich's playoff hopes, blah, blah, blah. I mean, regardless of Norwich's own form, I look at teams like Fulham, and they're more than capable of finishing above Norwich. I know it came up in the Q&A pad. They're more than capable of finishing above Norwich as well. But Dave, you're Mr. Optimistic. You were last weekend. So how's your cup sat at the moment?
I enjoyed the game. I mean, Norwich had a lot of chances, didn't they? They should have won it. Atmosphere beforehand, I thought, was really good. It petered out a bit during the game, but when On the Ball City was sang before kickoff, I thought that was the loudest I've heard it since Wembley, and just being sat there in the press box and taking it in, I thought, this is great. This is, as Jonas Knudsen said about, is that how it's pronounced? I don't know.
Well, I've always said Knudsen, but it probably should be, well, it doesn't matter. He doesn't play for Norwich.
Goal scorer. He said, this is what football's all about. This is what you want to play in front of. And, I had to agree with him with that. That was good. But at the end, it was a feeling of, it was just bubbling under the surface, wasn't it? There was a few boos initially, and then people started to applaud, because you couldn't really boo them off the pitch after that performance, apart from not taking the chances, because they did play well and it was quite exciting. But you just get that feeling that the faith is drained out of people now, and they can just see that the rest of the season is not looking like much fun, really.
So did you answer my playoff hopes question there?
Well, on the back of losing at Burton, I just don't see it. I don't think they'll win at Wednesday on Saturday, and I think that's done. And with the fixtures that they have got, I just don't think they're going to have enough. And it's it feels like clutching at straws anyway, because we're talking about trying to catch sixth place. I don't really see them catching the top five, regardless of whether the actual teams change positions. I don't think they'd get promoted if they got there. And if they did get promoted, this squad is not ready for the Premier League. So it could be a horrible season if they did somehow pull it out. But so it's a weird situation, really.
Yeah, I think Charlie Wyatt mentioned to me on Twitter that Norwich are 18 points off the top two, which, when you consider what happened 2 years ago, and let's be clear, that was what was supposed to happen again at the start of the season, that is a pretty damning indictment of how Norwich's season has panned out. And they've just never really clicked, have they, apart from maybe the first few weeks?
Well, two wins in 12 prior to Christmas, you know 12 games in a 46 game season, and you win twice, you're not going to threaten the top two, and that's why they're so far adrift. But I mean, this podcast could go on for hours and hours if we want to dissect why Norwich are in the state they're in. I mean, ultimately, squad wasn't fit for purpose at the start of the season, and the players who were here 2 years ago, to keep using that as a reference point, are 2 years older. There's 2 years more miles on the clock, and it looks like it now. It looks, when they go certainly away from home, that they're not able to get anywhere near those levels that this time 2 years ago they were producing. I remember that Bolton game where really they'd been pummeled and they needed a win. Gary Hooper comes on, scores this unbelievable goal, and the reaction, the fans, the players, everybody together, you just don't feel that this group of players are going to hit those heights between now and May. So, I think it's going to tail off this season.
which is exciting. I mentioned it already today. We've not really had that for a decade, a season where there's been nothing to play for in the last few weeks. Because even when that happened and they were secure in the Premier League, that's still exciting because you're all going to kick on, you're going to have more money to spend, you're going to do it all again and see what can happen. But to be, you know, faced with the prospect of another season in the Championship with weeks to go, which we're sort of expecting, are we being too negative?
Well, maybe. I mean, it's difficult not to be, isn't it? Because they've created that rod for their own backs. And I think that would be an unusual situation to be in. It's going to be a new challenge for the club, really. They're going to have to roll back the years almost to think about how they're going to deal with this summer. But I suppose we've got plenty of time to worry about that.
Yeah, don't use it all up now. We've got weeks to fill. Yeah. So.
I suppose if you want to look at it on the other side of the coin, they've got all this quality. The injuries are clearing up. There's always the chance that they click. And if they go and win at Hillsborough, of course it is still on. But it just feels like, I know a word you've used a fair bit this season, Pad, is malaise, isn't it? And that does sum it up nicely, because there's just this tension and frustration among the support because they just don't have faith in the players to do it. I mean, to have had as many chances as they had yesterday and managed to not win, that's not promotion material, is it? And if you think about the away wins under Alex 2 years ago after he'd arrived in January, like going and winning 3-0 at Brentford. I mean, some of his quotes after the game yesterday, he was saying about how they played excellently, didn't he, in patches at Reading and Brentford. Well, I must have watched different games, because I'm not sure where the yardstick on excellent is for that, because I saw both those games in their entirety and I would not have described them as excellent at any point in either.
I guess the juxtaposition here is Norwich fans celebrating Ipswich's 15-year reign in the Championship with a 15-minute applause. And clearly they're a club in their own situation, dealing with their own issues. But, you know, Norwich City fans have to be prepared, I guess, for what it would mean if they are, you know, adrift in the Championship for a year or two, because it is a slightly different world to the one they've been exposed to recently.
Slightly. It's absolute. Well, McCarthy himself, factually slightly incorrect with Pritchard's price tag, but, quote, they can bring on a 9 million substitute. I've got a 20,000 substitute going on. Obviously flippant, slightly inaccurate, as I say, with Pritchard's fee, but the reality is that is the disparity, that Norwich do have a vastly superior squad in terms of cost to bring these players to the club. And if they're not to do it this season, then their hopes would recede next season and then every subsequent season. And you do 15 years maybe down the line, sadly, get to a point where you are bringing on a £20,000 striker. And there's no disrespect to the lad, you know, good luck to him. But the massive contraction in expectation and optimism, if you like, because I'm sure those Ipswich fans, yeah, they got themselves up yesterday because it's the old rivals and they haven't won a fixture since April 2009, but as we've all seen from this side of the border, you know, some of their crowds are getting at Portman Road this season are frankly embarrassing. Swathes of empty seats, and that is not a scenario anybody would really want to see at Carrow Road, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years. But that is potentially the road that they're about to embark on if they can't muster a concerted push this season. And for me now, it's more about next season. If we assume that it's not going to happen this season, this summer, without wanting to lurch into hyperbole, is probably the biggest summer they've had in 20, 30 years, I think. Because if they can get it right, whether that's management, whether that's CEO, the whole package, they get it right, then they can maybe look to come back in a year, 2 years, 3 years. If they don't get it right, then sadly, it would look like maybe we're going to go down the Ipswich route, and then that will be, you know, the heady days of when they could buy Alex Pritchard for 9 million, as Mick would have it. Mm-hmm. That are a long time gone.
It's a pretty clear situation for me that your first season is your best chance of getting back. If that doesn't happen, you have to rebuild. I don't really see sides that go up 2 years later, because they basically, I think they chase it in the first year, they push the boat out. And it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy that then if you don't do it in that first year, you haven't got any kind of resource backing to sort of make it
the second year, and players that have said, I'll give you a year, they don't want to give you two. So that becomes a really difficult situation. What you'll see this season, teams competing are teams that either came down last year in Newcastle or the rest have had a bit of money thrown at them and spent years building to getting to that point. So that's the reality, it seems.
You may have touched on it there, in that it's about the money, isn't it? And if you look at Sheffield Wednesday, you look at Reading, you look at the way that Bournemouth did it, the investment has been brought into the club to, you know, Sheffield Wednesday are fine for money, aren't they? They're paying stupid amounts for their strikers, as we've talked about before, and they're not all of a sudden going to run out. Whereas Norwich, all of a sudden, it will turn on its head. They're probably going to have to think about redundancies and things like that, aren't they, at the club? They're going to have to make some really tough decisions, whether they, you know, the things that they've already spoken about, Ed Ball's told us at the AGM, any kind of training ground expansion and stuff is completely on the back burner while they're out of the Premier League. So it's a whole different challenge. And then you have to come on to the next step in that thought process as to, well, have they got to get some money into the club if they're going to keep up with everyone?
And of course, we could get stuck into who's the best manager to take them on and rebuild them next year. But I feel like we've done that already before, and we'll have plenty of time to come back onto that again. So we should probably touch on the game properly, because we haven't really done it, have we? But as we've said, Norwich had great chances in the first half, yet arguably Ipswich should have had a penalty when Mitchell Dykes wrestled David McGoldrick to the floor in quite comedy situation, wasn't it? It was more befitting of what was going on at Twickenham, I thought.
No, well, Russell Martin was there. It reminded me of that prank you play as kids where you'd have two people, one would bend down behind the other one and the first lad would push him over, because it was a very similar scenario. But thank God, yeah, I mean...
Is that an official penalty offence, do you think, if you do that?
I'd say you'd have a strong case. If the official had seen it, he clearly hasn't, as opposed to second half, that box, Dykes... disallowed goal, they clearly did see that, and they were right to disallow it, obviously. But yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree. If you were at Portman Road, you'd have been screaming for it.
Not only didn't give it, but gave the free kick to Norwich.
That's true, actually, yeah.
How?
That's true.
Yeah, no, I can't figure that one out. Second half as well, Norwich had the meat of the chances, has to be said. But Ipswich, I thought, did improve after the break. They came more into the game. David McGoldrick was more involved in the game. The goal was neatly taken. That gave them the lead. Jonas Knudsen, as we're going to stick with, 62nd minute, I think, off the top of my head. Great little header. He obviously likes scoring against Norwich. You spoke to him after the game, David. He enjoyed playing in front of a full crowd with a decent atmosphere. He obviously doesn't get it very often. But defensively, where's the biggest blame? Because clearly Jacob Murphy came out and spoke about it quite a lot. Likewise, not much pressure on the cross either from Spence.
Yeah, and Ivo Pinto sort of pointed in the direction of Knudsen, didn't he, and said, you know, you need to follow him. But I'm not sure whether that was the right thing to do. If he's the right back and there's somebody charging into the left wing position as it is for the opposition, then shouldn't he be reacting to that rather than just pointing?
He had a man as well. You see, so Russ pointed over because he had a man. Pinto then pointed back to Jacob.
Yeah.
By that point, it was too late because Knudsen was already a couple of yards ahead of Jacob. So, I mean, it's hard, isn't it? Because Jacob obviously did make amends. And likewise, he spoke afterwards, as we'll hear in a bit, and he was perfectly open about what had happened.
What did he say, mate?
Well, should we hear it now? Go on then, let's hear it now.
No, we're not happy with a point. You know, I thought the game plan did work well. We should have took 3 points. We had a lot more possession, a lot more chances than them, and then obviously conceded the goal. But you know, we got back into the game. But yeah, be disappointed just to get a point.
Must be happy with the finish and getting the side level in a derby match.
Yeah, it was really nice to get a goal. You know, I love scoring for this club. But you know, had to repay for, you know, obviously maybe being at fault for the first goal.
Yeah, did that play on your mind after that, when something like that happens and you see the guy supposed to be picking up, run on and head the ball home?
Yeah, it's massively annoying. And then, you know, I felt I had to repay the team and the fans for an error.
You were the only guy who managed to beat the Ipswich goalkeeper this afternoon. He was on top form. He made some stunning saves.
Yeah, made some good saves. But obviously I knew his near post was his weakness. Watching clips from goals from previous games, you know, I knew that was a vulnerable area, so that's why I hit it there.
Fantastic. In terms of the mood in the dressing room, I mean, it's another 2 points dropped, and we've already said for a few weeks now you can't afford any more slip-ups. What's the mood in there after this one?
Yeah, the boys are really disappointed. You know, this is a chance to get 3 points, and you know, the game plan was working well, but you know, we've got a massive game at the weekend and got to nail it then.
Yeah, in terms of the game up at Sheffield Wednesday, you clearly can't afford to lose it. Is it a game you can't afford not to win now?
It's a massive game, and every game is massive. And you know, at this point of the season, you know, it's going to be crucial that we get the game plan right and we get the 3 points.
Cheers, Jacob. Thank you very much.
Paul McInnes, off of The Guardian, big Norwich fan.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you've come to expect from Norwich this season?
Yeah, afraid so. I mean, I think the one thing you would say was slightly unusual was we didn't, you know, and Alex Neil talked about this afterwards, we really lacked a cutting edge. We've scored a lot of goals this season. We didn't do it today, but with Cam up front, you know, love him, he works hard, and, you know, he's smart, but he's just so exasperating in and around the box.
Especially when really his main competition is out of the picture.
Yeah.
Defensively as well, though, I mean, you could say Norwich, you know, should be 4-5 up or whatever, but they go a goal down because defensively they've been poor for a significant amount of time now.
Well, exactly. I mean, we've been poor defensively. I mean, we were all right with the Alex Neil promotion season. We were good defensively. You know, Pasong and Martin seems crazy now, but they formed a good partnership at that time. But ever since the Newcastle away performance in the Premier League, we've been shipping goals for fun. Alex Neil makes it quite clear that he's happy to concede goals as long as we score more, and then when we don't score more, we're in trouble. I mean, I took my girlfriend to the game. It's the first time she's ever been to a Norwich match. Said, you deserve to win, but you weren't very good. And I think that was probably about how I'd sum up the match too.
And the season, I would imagine, yeah, to be honest. Yeah. Paul, yeah, well, is Norwich's season's over?
No, I mean, I ain't over till it's over, and there's still 12 games, and, you know, you're right, but our away form is dreadful. So we have to turn that around, and our performances against teams in the top six have been dreadful. We have to turn that around. If we turn that around, then good. But the one good thing I thought after the match, Alex says that he thinks Nelson will be back in training in 2 weeks, and I think that will be a big, if he stays fit to the end of the season, that could be a big difference.
Welcome back to the Pinken.com podcast. Before we get back to the discussion, think you're the best at fantasy football? Do not wait until the end of the season to find out. Put your fantasy football knowledge to the test, people, and win cash every week at DraftKings.co.uk. Apparently, DraftKings is the world's number one destination for one-day fantasy football for cash. Now, you can go to DraftKings.co.uk/pink now to pick a team and enter this Saturday's contest for a shot at winning a share of $200, which I would imagine is probably worth more in terms of pounds now than when whoever wrote this down wrote it down. So get in there. That is the address, draftkings.co.uk/pink, to play free. Of course, you've also heard there from Football Weekly's Paul McInnes. I thought we'd put him in, Dave. Do you appreciate that?
Yeah, I want an Ian McIntosh hello from him though in future.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll put that request in. Jacob said he's man enough to take responsibility for his error, and then felt him getting the equaliser sort of made amends for that too. So good on him, but I guess don't make the mistake in the first place, maybe, Jacob.
Well, yeah, I mean, ultimately he's an attacking player, and you see it, and it's not an age thing, I don't think, so much as attacking players in the opposition box, they have a different mindset to when they're defending in their own box. They just don't sense that danger that a natural defender would have. Because it was a bad error, really. You know, it was naive to let the guy just run off the back of him and not be aware of him. It was almost like he wasn't aware of him until he turned round on the half turn and the ball's already in the back of the net, pretty much. But yeah, give him his due. Alex Neil said it showed a lot of character. You could probably question Akiba. He certainly questioned himself, according to McCarthy. But 9 goals for that man. 9 goals in the Championship this season. His target was 10. Yes, he's had a few lulls after and really bursting onto the scene the first couple of months, but in that he's no different to the actual team he's playing for, because they've had 1 or 2 lulls as well. It's a really positive campaign. It might not end how we all hope it ends for Norwich as a team, but for that man, he's definitely took a leap forward. And of course, that's a whole different can of worms then when the summer comes around, because he will have interest, I'm sure, from higher level teams. But that is certainly one positive of this season for me.
It's an interesting one, because they do get a bit of stick, the two Murphys, and Jacob has obviously played more, so he's tended to get more stick himself. But they create goals and they score goals. The stats back it up. They have a major influence in Norwich going forward. They deliver the goods in that respect.
They do, but obviously they can't leave their defensive responsibilities at all. I mean, on this goal, I think actually Mitchell Dykes needs a bit of criticism as well, because he quite lazily went up to Jordan Spence, and Norwich, just in those couple of minutes when Ipswich got on top a little bit, almost just took their foot off the pedal a bit and were trying to assess how they were going to approach the challenge next. And Dykes not only didn't get out to him very quickly, but he turned his back on the cross, and that's not that shouldn't really be forgiven, should it? He had a mad game, really, didn't he? I mean, in the first 5 minutes, he miscontrolled the ball out for a throw, misplaced the ball a couple of times, nearly forced an own goal. Then he, elbowed the ball into the back of the net, should have given a penalty away in the first 5 minutes. He was all over the shop, wasn't he?
Brilliant going forward, though. I mean, that in terms of impact going forward, we saw a different level from him, really. I guess he's kind of sitting quite nicely as an Alec Neil fullback. Can't really defend, but he's doing it all going forward.
Well, I think also the system Ipswich played Sunday with the three central defenders, effectively, there was space down the flank. So, you know, he benefited from that, but he still had to go and attack the space. And, yeah, thankfully, just shows that Burton game was probably just a blip brought on by the fact that A, it's not played for a while, B, the first adaptation to the English Championship. But really good signing that. Sadly, again, we've answered it on the Q&A earlier today. If Norwich don't go up, I don't think we'll be seeing him in yellow next season, whether there's a buy option or not.
No, I was thinking about this because I was going to dig in again on the recruitment on the Q&A today, and I thought, well, actually, they've dug out Mitchell Dykes. He's a good signing, yeah. But he's a loan signing. Yeah. There's nothing permanent about that. There's nothing prolonged. And well, I think my issue is it still always seems too obvious. You know, let's recruit the guy who scored most goals in the division last year rather than finding someone who you know, is maybe a better building block. But there we go. What's the biggest issue, Dave, defensively? That Norwich conceded a goal and Ipswich had one shot on target all match, or the fact they missed so many chances and Cameron Jerome is basically having to do it on his own at the moment because, well, Nelson Oliveira's at the EFL Cup final. He was also injured, maybe more pertinently, but...
Yeah, I think it's more up front. I've seen quite a lot of criticism since the game of Cameron Jerome, which immediately after the game I had thought was unfair because he didn't really have loads of chances, but I had said in the pod last week that I thought this was a game where if Oliveira had been fit, then they could have played two up front and it could have worked because they, you know, Christoph Berra dominated Jerome, didn't he? And we know what he's about. Again, we said about it in the podcast last week that he's sort of an old-fashioned centre-back, isn't he? And in the air, he's going to win things against Cameron Jerome because that's not his strength. But they did put the ball in the air quite a bit, Norwich, which is quite unusual for them. So, yeah, I mean, you come up against a keeper playing in sort of inspired form occasionally, don't you? And I suppose a derby is as likely as any other because players are sort of 100%. But, yeah, they had to take one of those chances. The save from Tetti was very good. And when he prevented the own goal, that was also very good. The Naismith header, I mean... What were the actual stats? Was it 22 shots to 4? So
right.
It's a game they should have won, but this comes back to what you were just saying in recruitment, really. And Kyle Lafferty, you know, to be fair to him, I don't think you can expect anything of him because Alec Neil has shown no faith in him at all. He chucks him on as a Hail Mary occasionally at the end of games for 3 or 4 minutes. You can't expect the guy to have any kind of form or match sharpness, can you? So they obviously they can't control that Nelson Oliveira is injured, but they now haven't got any other options beyond Kyle.
Yeah, it's a fair point as well in that Alec Neil had actually said he wanted to start playing the two of them together, didn't he? I think it was just before Nelson got injured. He said, yeah, they played them together in Wigan and told them beforehand, go and show me, I'm more inclined to do this more often, show me what you can do. And then I think he basically got injured after that. You're not having it.
I'm not having that. When have we ever seen, bar the odd occasion, I think of Watford 2 seasons ago, he played Graben and was it Jerome? Nah, he's a one-up top man, so I'm not really having that. That there was ever a window of opportunity to play both of them together, it's always going to be one or the other because that's then alters quite irrevocably his midfield balance, and he's so big on the midfield controlling that aspect of the pitch that I think no, it'll be the odd occasion. I mean, the only reason he went with that at Wigan, if I recall, is because he felt they were quite direct and the pitch was going to be dodgy, so it wasn't really going to be conducive to playing through the thirds, as it were. So no, I think it's going to always be one or the other in his mindset. And that, to take up Dave's point, is why he probably hasn't gone out and got another striker in, because why do you need 4 strikers, we'll say, 4 frontline options when you're only playing one every game? So, but I agree. I mean, the Lafferty episode will not reflect well on any participant, I don't think. That's again, to keep coming back to it, recruitment again. You know, albeit it wasn't a Neil signing, but you know why they've not been able to ship him on probably says more about what they've actually offered him in terms of contracts, I would think.
It must go through Alex's head as well when he chucks on Kyle late in games that if he scores, it's going to be really embarrassing for me, because I've told everybody that I don't think he's the answer and that I don't really want him at the club in so many words. If Kyle were to come on and score a crucial goal for him, it would be embarrassing for Alex.
Well, there's always a press conference afterwards to, you know, make sure that history is told in the right way. That's why they're there. Yeah, and you mentioned it quite rightly, Dave. We should give Bartosz Białkowski some proper credit, because he did make a string of very good saves, I think. I mean, looking at them again, I mean, you know, they're good reactions. A few of them you probably expect him to make. He probably should have saved Jacob's shot, but as Jacob said, he pinpointed low down to his left, just like Nathan Redmond back in the day. But I mean, the one especially from Tetti and the one from Pritchard low down looked like the pick of the bunches.
Well, I like the Naismith one, because I haven't seen it back since, but in real time that just looked to be nestling inside, and I thought it was in, and then literally he just stuck out an arm. So he's obviously a big man, and he got across his line well there. No, he can be happy with his afternoon's work, I think, bar obviously the goal. But you know, if you'd have offered him that beforehand, I think he'd have probably taken it. Well, certainly McCarthy said quite clearly if he was offered a point before he'd got on the coach, he'd have taken it. So they were more than happy with their afternoon's work, I think.
You had a good stat on the derby, didn't you? Someone sent you?
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's verifiable or not, but apparently since 1938, the only season where you've had two draws in the East Anglian derby.
Nothing says mediocrity more than two jobs, two draws in the derby fixture, Dave.
Yeah, that's quite a stat. Białkowski, for my sins, I have an Ipswich supporting friend who I lived with for 2 years at uni, and he's coming up to Norwich this weekend for a bit of a debrief and, you know, to mock each other mercilessly. And he said that he's been the difference between them being in a relegation battle and not this season. So he's done well. He's been very consistent for them by all accounts.
There you go, that's enough Ipswich. Brilliant. All right, well, there's not much more to say about Norwich, really, is there? We've taken that apart.
Touching on Naismith there, I mean, I didn't think he looked sharp. I'm not sure that was the right decision to play him from the beginning. He didn't look match fit to me after, missing four or five games.
Yeah, just not sharp, I suppose. Conversely, Ivo Pinto just seems to come back fitness and just slot straight back in, doesn't it? It's ridiculous.
Well, it is worth pointing out, as much as we are quite rightly, you know, highlighting the deficiencies in their recruitment policy in recent windows, that has been an unmitigated success. Unmitigated is not the right word, an unqualified success. There's been a few unmitigated disasters, but certainly that one, it wouldn't fall into that category. But also worth pointing out, I think, to draw a parallel with Wiltshire, that albeit he was operating in the Premier League, but he looked anything but secure, didn't he, Ivo Pinto, in the first few forays in a Norwich shirt. But it takes time, you know. It took time to adapt to his new surroundings, and albeit Yannick should know what the Championship's all about, having played with Wigan, but, you know, I know there's a lot getting on his case at the minute, but I don't think you can really judge him until next season, I think.
I thought it was weird he wasn't brought on. Yeah. You know, you just bought a £7 million guy. To not even chuck him on for the last 5 minutes, I mean, because supposedly he can play up front, can't he? So would there have been any harm in chucking up alongside Cameron Jerome for those last closing minutes?
No, I agree. I didn't even recall seeing him warm up, to be honest. I mean, I suspect he did at some point. It's interesting, though, last couple of games, or two, three games, we've seen both Murphys on the pitch, and Norwich haven't looked completely open, which was maybe more of an issue a few weeks back. But anyway, Sheffield Wednesday awaits. Well, we've gone on quite a bit already, so we'll keep this very brief. But they're apparently not playing that well, Sheffield Wednesday. So and they have, you know, they have lost twice. But apparently, people who watch them are saying they're not doing it. They've been grinding out results anyway for weeks. So, could be a good time to play them. You know, Norwich need that, don't they? Desperately.
Well, yeah. I mean, every little advantage potentially going their way. What I would suggest is that is. I mean, as much as you can talk about the Carrow Road crowd, and we saw it against Huddersfield most notably, where they can get on the players' backs if they don't feel it's happening, or the manager's back. I always get that sense going to Hillsborough, and I think if Norwich were able to start positively, even get their noses in front, I think that home crowd would soon get on those players, because, as DF has alluded to, that a lot of money has gone into that squad. They need to be challenging. It isn't enough just to make the playoffs. That squad has been designed to try and get them out of that division and get back to the Premier League. So, bearing in mind they've lost the last two, I think they lost at home to Brentford in that run as well. They're not a team who are flying, so yeah, there is hope there, but this is Norwich away from home, so we all know what that means.
What a place to snap the run, hey Dave, a place where Norwich have been rubbish for years.
Yeah, I've been there twice with Norwich, I think, in my life, and they lost 4-0, I think, in an FA Cup game, and 4-1 under Rhoda when Huckabee took the lead, and it was Dion Dublin's final game, and it was all about that rather than the actual match. So yeah, I'm glad I'm not going, actually. But they've got a former Ipswich striker, a striker in Stephen Fletcher, who was linked here, and a former Norwich striker in Gary Hooper. So if they can't score goals against Norwich, then I don't know who can. And with them, I see that they're underperforming at the moment, and that they the only way really should be up for them. They're still in the playoffs, despite the fact that they're not doing very well, and their fans are getting a bit nervous. But I've got a horrible feeling that they might. It could be, you know, the along come Norwich thing, and they'll click into gear and score a few early goals, and that could be sort of goodnight Vienna for the season.
Well, there we go. I think a fitting note to end this Ray of Sunshine podcast. Don't worry, we've got a couple of months of the season left yet, so plenty more to come. But thank you very much, gents. Thanks all for listening. Don't forget, head along to pinken.com, and you can record messages for us if you want to get involved in the pod, because you know you might have some things you want to get off your chest. Do it, pinken.com/podcast, I think is the place. Me and Paddy will be at Hillsborough looking forward to it already, and we'll have all the coverage either side of that one for you. Again, pinken.com is the place to be. We'll see you on the other side. Thanks all, good night.